chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, it's our delight to be here tonight. We are longing. Really, it's harder for us to leave now here than it is for us to leave home, believe it or not. A couple weeks ago, we made a trip down, and I wanted to take care of some school stuff for our kids and brought a load down, so we spent a night down here then and told my wife, I said, do we really have to go back? And she kind of, well, we have the kids. I always said, okay, all right, you know, and yeah, we have to go back at the kids, but we're just anxious. We're just overjoyed. I just got thinking about you people a lot the last few weeks, of course, and this has nothing to do with my message, but, you know, you have been so good to us. I got thinking, What faith it is for a church to call a pastor in, and you've only known us for about 2 days, really, when you look at the whole sphere of things. And I truly believe, as a preacher, as I hope you do as well, that this was the right decision. This is of God, and our love goes out to you. I think of you folks often. I don't know everybody by name yet. I may miss your name once in a while, and Mr. So-and-so and Miss So-and-so, I might do that. But in due time, I'll get to know you. But as I was thinking about the decision of taking this church and pastoring this church and thinking about the everything that goes along with it, I was seeing your faces. I could remember a lot of your faces, and I certainly, you know, God knows my heart, but I truly trust, and I pray that our family can be what you need. We're looking forward to serving you for many years. I don't look to jump from day to day to day. I don't want that. But we're just truly delighted to be here, and we pray for you. And again, please pray for us in this transition. Pray for our church in this transition. It's always a transition. It's I got to think, it's just as much a transition for you as it is me. You know, I'm getting to know you. You're getting to know us, and yes, we got, you know, we're moving and doing all that. But the truth of the matter is, you have a transit. You've got things that you're trying to figure this guy out a little bit, if you will. But I trust, boy, God's going to do some great things, I believe, and I'm anxious. Just want to see God's work to be done here. But I was thinking, as I was thinking about this message, my first Wednesday evening message or message period as pastor of Faith Baptist, you know, I was thinking about, as a pastor, wanting his people to do well in life. You know, as a pastor, all I want for you, okay, as well as my family, all I want for you is to do well. You know, and of course, the world's definition of doing well is how much money can you make? The possessions and all that, and that's not what I'm talking about. God will bless you with that, and you have some money in your pocket, and you have some great possessions, a nice home, that's great, but the truth of it, I'm not talking about that, but I want to talk about doing well, not as man thinks, but as how God thinks it. Doing well in God's sight. What is it? Doing well, and I'll get to my text here in a moment and read here, but doing well is being faithful to Christ. reading your Bible. I'm talking about as Christians, okay? Not talking about going out in the working world and making big, big bucks. I'm talking about, as far as a Christian, us doing well, and that's being faithful to Him, serving Him, reading your Bible, praying, walking with God, being faithful to church, absorbing the things of God, and all that leads to a rich life. Financially, no. But spiritually, it leads you to the kind of life that God wants you to lead, to have. You know, here we have in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read right on down through to verse 8. Here's the Apostle Paul talking to a young Timothy. And I consider Paul kind of a father figure to Timothy. I think that it's fair to say that Timothy was probably, you could almost consider this, the son in the ministry to the Apostle Paul. That's how I term it. But let's listen to these words that Paul is talking to Timothy here. I charge thee, verse 1, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away the ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this church. I pray, dear God, Holy Spirit, that you will fill your servant. I pray, God, that you'll touch my lips, anoint my tongue. I pray, Lord, that what is said behind this pulpit tonight will be exactly what you would say if you were standing here. I pray, dear God, that you'd be with every single individual here, a mom, a dad, a child, a teenager. Be with every individual here, dear Lord, and bless them, bless their families. I pray you bless this time, bless the preaching now, in Jesus' name. Amen. As a pastor wants his congregation to do well, so a parent wants his or her child to do well. You know, the parent in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, this is our job, train up a child in the way he should go. And as a parent, why do we train up a child in the way he should go? Why do we teach the word of God to our kids? Why do we work so hard to get them to church? Why do we work so hard to get them into a Sunday school class and get them involved in church? Because we are doing our part to train them up in the way that he should go, that so that hopefully when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why does a parent work so hard training? Because we want our children to finish and to finish well. Yes, maybe success. We want God's blessing upon them. Maybe successful as far as getting a good job. We want that. But, you know, the most important thing, parent, the most important thing, authority figure, is to teach the young people to do well in the sight of God. That's why we do what we do. A teacher, why do a Christian school teacher, a Sunday school teacher, anything like anyone like that, get up behind a podium and teach and preach to young children and study and prepare for them? Because they want them to do well. The Apostle Paul here was talking to young Timothy. He was talking to young Timothy, as I mentioned before, his son in the ministry. That's how I would look at it. And the Apostle Paul was nearing the end of his life, and I could visualize Paul instructing Timothy here, as a dad would his son, telling Timothy, this young preacher, that, you know, Timothy, my ministry's about done. It's not going to be long before I enter the portals of heaven, and it won't be long before I see my Savior face to face. It's not going to be long before I see my Savior, Jesus, the one who died for me and the one that I have been able to preach about all these years. It's not going to be long before I get to heaven, Timothy. You see, Timothy, I didn't start my life well. Back a long time ago, before I was a preacher and before this time, I used to be a persecutor of Christians. I can imagine old, aged preacher Paul telling a young Timothy that how he started. I didn't start well. And I thank God that God has used me, Timothy. But Timothy, I know even though I didn't start well, I wanted to make sure that I finished well for my Savior. You see, in verse 7, Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But Timothy, let me tell you something. It doesn't come without price. And church, let me just say this tonight. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, if you're going to go ahead and finish well in the sight of God, it will not come without a price. You will be laughed at, Timothy. I can hear Paul saying this. You are going to be mocked at. You're going to be laughed at. And the time's going to come, you're going to be misunderstood. Boy, how do we feel today? You know, I tell you, there are folks out there today, they think we're crazy because we're here Wednesday night. They think that we're crazy because we get up early on a Sunday morning and go start up an old bus and go pick up boys and girls to bring them to church. And they think that we're crazy. They misunderstand why it is we do what we do here. They misunderstand what is going on here at Faith Baptist Church. And just as Paul was instructing Timothy, you're going to be laughed at. We've all been laughed at, I'm sure, for the gospel. How often we go soul winning, you go knocking on a door, you get door slammed in your face, and you've got to grab your nose afterwards because you've literally had your door slammed on your face so many times. People, what are the people doing? They're laughing at you. They're mocking you. And so Timothy, Paul says, you're going to be misunderstood. People are not going to understand you. They're going to turn from you, as a matter of fact, as the Bible says here. They're going to be as people turning away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And they're going to deny the truth. They're going to deny the very Jesus that you preach about. They're going to listen to false teachers, false doctrine. But Timothy, and as your pastor tonight, I say the same thing. I plead with you to endure these afflictions. Hey, Timothy, I plead with you. You preach a word. You be instant in season, out of season. You reprove, you rebuke, you exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Don't turn back from the truth, Timothy. I've prayed for you, Timothy. I've worked with you. I consider you my son. Almost, I consider you my son in the ministry. And I want you to finish the course, and I want you to finish it well. I want you to one day to be able to transfer what you have learned to the younger generation. So at the end of your life, you may be able to tell the younger generation, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Today, we kind of live in a society that young people, we got quite a few young people tonight, and I'm glad we do. You don't look at the end of your life right now. I'm 38 years old. I don't look at the end of my life, but I'm halfway there. And the truth of the matter is, some of you young people, you don't look at the end of your life right now. That's why, you know, the truth is, that's why God has placed a line of authority in your life. That's a mom and dad. That is a pastor. That's a Sunday school teacher. That is a school teacher. To help you make godly decisions and to teach you that your decisions, listen to me, your decisions determine your destiny. Let me say that again, young people. Your decisions that you make right now determine your destiny. What you decide right now ultimately will decide how you turn out one day. It's so very important for you to get under some wise counsel when you make big decisions. And I'm not just talking about kids. I'm talking about every single one of us. When you get into a position where you don't know what to do, you better get under wise counsel. Don't just be flippant in that decision, because for all of us, our decisions determine our destiny. We do not seek casualties, but oftentimes they come when we don't listen. When we don't listen to the preaching of the word of God and we want to go our way, you know what? That's when casualties happen. Well, that's when the troubles come oftentimes. The same is said of us adults. I've been talking to the kids here a minute. But the same is said of us. If we don't go ahead and listen, if we don't go ahead and walk with God, we don't go ahead and make the proper decisions, hey, you know what? Casualties will come upon us as well. You know, I've seen people. I've counseled with people. They tire of the will of God. They just get tired of it. They get tired of going to church. They get tired of raising their family in church. It's just the hassle. You don't understand, Brother Sean. You don't understand, Pastor Weeks, that, you know, you get up Sunday after Sunday, you get all the kids ready and this and that, get breakfast and stuff like that. And I know people, they tire. And by the way, going to church is part of the will of God for our life. Amen. You know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's pretty plain, folks. And the truth of the matter is, we need to be in church whenever the doors are open. Yes, I know there's things that happen, work and different things. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, to the best of our ability, them doors are open Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We need to be there. Boy, that's going to, you know what? By the way, the church house is going to help you finish well. The preaching of the church house is going to help you finish well. The teaching of the church house is going to help you finish well. I see people tire of the will of God. Get tired of reading my Bible. Get tired of walking with God. Tired of teaching a Sunday school class or riding a bus and all this. And so what do? They quit. And oftentimes, and I've seen this happen to family after family, after they've stepped out of church, their family goes, it just seems to scatter. I mean, literally, I've seen kids of these families just literally scatter into the world. And all that's happened simply because of a decision that they made, that and they were faithful in church. They were in church, they were active in church, but because they either got tired of it, they got tired of just getting up and keeping going and keeping going and keeping going. And as a result of that one decision, I have seen family, literally, family after family after family, go ahead and scatter literally because of that one decision, leaving church. You know, that family is not finishing well. I've seen people, you know, they first get saved, all was great at first. Boy, you know, there's nothing like when you get saved, and boy, if we all reflect back to that time when we got saved, Jesus came into our life, and boy, the burden was lifted, and we're excited. We are excited. Boy, you can't wait to get to the church house. You can't wait to go ahead and serve God. You can't wait to go ahead and hear the preaching. You can't wait to get to your Sunday school class. Everything's pretty awesome at first. You're in your Sunday school class, and you love it. You yearn to learn more about the things of Christ. Things go pretty well until maybe someone spoke an unkind word to you in church. Didn't mean to. Never should have been said, but it was said. Someone failed to shake your hand. Someone, whatever. Something happened. Maybe you had a flat tire and you felt like, God, this isn't fair. And you say, you know what? Why does this have to happen? God, I'm trying to serve you. So here I am. This is happening to me. And you feel like it's just not fair. Which will cause you to not finish well. The same can be said as of us mature Christians. You get saved. You grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you grow, your heart desire is more to serve Christ. Your heart's desire is to learn the things of God. You maybe pick up a Sunday school class and you teach it. Maybe you ride a bus. You work in some ministry. And because of that family, because of that parent tonight, the result of that, God has blessed you. The result of you growing in the grace of God, God has blessed you and your kids have done well. You've raised them up in church and all has turned out great, but something happened. Something happened. That curveball that the devil likes to shoot once in a while to that family, that solid family that's involved and that's serving Christ. Boy, that curveball all of a sudden came. Maybe a job loss that resulted in financial loss. Maybe it was sickness. Maybe it was cancer. Maybe it was who knows what, a death of a loved one. And that curveball came in and just kind of ate you up. That curveball, that incident kind of came in, snuck in, and took over. So you, as a mature Christian, you start to blame God. You pull from your Sunday school class. You pull from your bus route. You pull from your Bible reading. You pull from your prayer life. You quit on God. Everything that God has done, you just kind of give up. And is it any wonder why our kids stand back and they're doing well in church? They stand back, scratch their heads. What happened? What happened? I know my desire, as I mentioned before, for this church is not to just do well with things. But boy, I want you to do well as far as the sight of God is concerned. And in so doing, I want you to finish well. I mean, your life that you live, boy, I want you to learn the Word of God. And I want you to pray. I want you to get to know God more, because I know the end result will be that you finish well. I just want to give you a few thoughts here tonight on finishing well as God sees it. Number one, to finish our course well, we do not necessarily have to start well. I didn't start well. I grew up on a dairy farm. I grew up in church. But, you know, once I got into them teen years, I had a little bit of rebellion set in. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, I didn't necessarily go ahead and start well, but I thank God for where I am today. I thank God for a praying mom and dad that prayed over me and said, Lord, don't let the devil, don't let the world get my kid. I thank God for a preacher. Boy, I remember many, many a time through some of my rebellious years, okay, as a teenager. And yes, I'm confessing tonight. Okay, I've been there. And you know what? Maybe there's somebody here tonight as well. You're rebelling, and boy, you better get that thing right. And don't let that thing go ahead and get bigger and bigger and bigger. You better get that thing right. Don't let that overtake you, because that'll keep you from finishing well. But I remember my mom and dad, they would be praying for me. And I remember specifically my preacher. He knew my tough times as a teenager. And boy, my preacher at that time, he would go ahead and come by and say, "Hey, Sean, let me take you out." And by the way, this was just some good stuff. This is stuff I'll remember forever. He says, "Sean, I want to take you out for an ice cream." And he would not go ahead and necessarily talk about my rebellion. He would just want to come and be my friend. Let me tell you something. That went a long ways for me as a young kid. My preacher, just the very thought that I knew that he cared. I went to church, but I was just kind of rebelling against God and the things of God. But boy, you know what? My preacher, my mom and dad, they prayed and they invested in me. But I really also appreciated the fact that my preacher would stop by and say, "Hey, I want to take you out for ice cream. I want to do this with you." He wouldn't necessarily get on me and harp on me and harp on me and harp on me. But the truth of the matter is, I knew he loved me. And I look back at that. That was just a little bit of a personal illustration. But, you know, I didn't start well necessarily. I had some rebellion, some years of rebellion in it. But I thank God for those people that invested in me, the line of authority that is in that's right in line. I'm talking about my mom and dad, my preacher, and some Christian school teachers that I had at the time. People, godly people, they were praying for me. But to finish our course well, you don't necessarily have to start well, number one. You know, the Apostle Paul, he's a murderer. You know, our subject here tonight, he was a murderer. He persecuted Christians. He hated God. And yet, look at how he finished. Yet he became the greatest soul winner probably ever known. He went about from country to country, starting churches. And through it all, you know, he'd be kicked around, he'd be stoned out of cities, he'd be cast out of cities, he would be jailed, he'd have everything that we never had done to us, but he'd never quit on God. And now, as a result, at the end of his life, he'd say, "You know, I fought a good fight, Timothy. I've kept the faith, and I finished my course." The Apostle Paul didn't start out well, but you know, look at how he's finishing. Moses, another instance here. He murdered a man, but God used him to probably be the greatest leader of all, leading millions, God's people, millions of people out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. And look at how Moses finished. You know, let's not, you know, sometimes I hear the excuse, "Well, Brother Sean, you don't understand. Pastor Reese, you don't understand. You know, you got to understand, you know, how I started before I got saved. I mean, I was, you know, I did this. I mean, I did all this stuff against God before I got saved." Paul did too. Moses did too. The difference between you tonight, maybe one reason why you're not making progress in your Christian life per se, as far as just making some headway, and you wonder why the blessings of God, you're saved, Jesus lives inside you, but you wonder, why is it that I feel like I'm in a rut here? It might be because you haven't done what Paul did, what Moses did, and what other men have done. They went ahead, they confessed it, and you know, when we confess it, God forgot about it. It's at the depths of the sea, man. It's gone. And the truth of the matter is, if you would just go ahead, and stop getting into this rut, if you will, and say, "Well, Brother Sean, you don't understand. I can't be you. I can't do this. I can't do this." You've already made a whole list of things. And what that is, that's a whole list of excuses. If you would just get on your knees and say, "Okay, Lord, when I got saved," you know what? When you got saved, he confessed it. It's done. It's gone. So don't use that as an excuse to go ahead. Don't use that as an excuse to go ahead and not do anything for God. God wants you to finish well. People say, "I can't do things in church because of my past." You know what? Maybe you can't do what you could do because of some things in the past. But you know what? is somewhere in church you could be used. Maybe it could be driving a bus. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of work. Hey, if you can keep it between the ditches, you know what? There you are. Maybe it could be being a Sunday school helper. Maybe it could be, who knows what? Maybe it could be just coming in once a week and doing a little vacuuming. Who knows what it is? You say, well, my past. Forget about the past. God's forgot about it. If you're saved tonight, put it away and just keep on moving for God. Don't use that as an excuse not to do well. Number two, you know, if you're going to finish well, if you're going to decide that I'm going to finish well as a Christian and do my part while I'm alive serving God, you know, to finish well, it's not going to just happen. It's going to take a lot of effort. You know, everything worthwhile takes work. You know, finishing well in Christ's perspective, it's going to take a lot of work. It's not going to just happen. It's going to take us. It's going to take you individually to go ahead and get up and Sunday after Sunday go to church. It's going to take you on a regular, every day, go ahead and get to this book right here. You know what I find as a pastor? This book doesn't come to me. I wish it did. Boy, it would help me a whole lot. You know what? I have to go to it. You know, this book isn't going to get up necessarily with me in the morning. You know, I have to go ahead and take the initiative to get to this book. And I know that if I'm going to finish well and finish my course well on earth, you know what? I've got to have a relationship with this book right here. And you've got to have a relationship. And if I got to have a relationship with it, you know what? If you're going to finish well and do well, you've got to have a relationship with this book, right? How are we going to get to know God? You know, it'd be a whole lot easier if God would walk through them back doors right here. Jesus just walk right through, and he come up, and he fill this pulpit, and have him be pastor. You know what? It'd be a whole lot better. That's not how he chose it. That's not how he chose it. You know, and I wish that he would just come to my office, sit down, and let me get to know him. Kind of like how I think Adam and Eve did in the cool of the day. They met with God. I mean, I kind of wish I had that. Individually, I wish I had it. How am I going to get to know Christ? I got to have a relationship with this book right here. And if I'm going to go ahead and finish well, if you're going to finish well, we've got to have that relationship. Raising our children takes work, and they're worthwhile. I said everything worthwhile. If we're going to finish well, it's going to take a lot of effort. And you know what? Raising our children, it takes work, but it's worth it. Having consistent leadership in the home so that our children will turn out right, it takes work. And by the way, you know, Dad, take the reins of the home. Take the reins. There's nothing wrong with that. Today, I think we live in this spooky whatever society. Well, you know, whatever. You know, the truth of the matter is, Dad, let's get back to leadership and take the reins of the home and say, you know what? We're going to be in church Sunday morning. We're going to be in church Sunday night. You know what? It does take work. Yeah, sure it does. But it's worth it. Because it's going to help you finish well, and it's going to help your children finish well. You know, having family devotions takes work. Getting your kids up and having a time and reading the Bible with your kids and having that private time with your family, it takes work. Getting up on Sunday morning, we've talked a little bit about this, and getting the kids ready, it takes work. It takes a lot of work. Preparing a Sunday school class takes a little bit of work. Working a bus, driving a bus, whatever the case may be, you know what? It takes effort. Raising your kids. Make sure your kids have positive influences in their lives. Take work. You know, let me just stop and say this. Parents, you ought to know what your kids are doing. There's nothing wrong with that. You ought to know who they're hanging around with. You ought to know where they are, what they're going to do with whoever they're hanging out. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's my responsibility as a dad to go ahead and lead my kids into having proper influences in their life. Who are the right influences? Well, you know what? People in church are a good start, generally speaking. I find our friends in the church house and not the world. Okay, I don't have to go out in the world to find my friends. You know what? I have just decided for my family that I'm going to come to church and I'm going to find my friends here. Because I believe, on the most part, I believe that we're of one mind, we're of one thought, and that is to go ahead and increase the cause of Christ and to learn more about Christ so that we all can finish well. Hey, listen, I want my kids to finish well. Giving them right influences will help them do that. Pastors are a good influence for your kids to be around. Christian school teachers, Sunday school teachers, other godly leaders, friends who are going the right direction. I'm talking about teenagers, you know, your friends. You know, how do you choose your friends? You know what? You ought to find a friend, a teenage friend, that you know is going the right direction, who lifts up Christ, who lifts up the church, who wants to read their Bible. Hey, you know what? That's the kind of friend you ought to go after. Making sure that we, as adults, finish well, it takes work. I said it a moment ago. The Bible just doesn't hop out at us. I wish it did. But boy, we need to have a relationship with this book right here. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. Number three, I jotted this down today. This was a part of my original points here. But you know, if you're doing right now, number three, you're on the right course right now, continue on. I hear way too many people. I just talked to someone recently, illustration I gave to you earlier in my message here. But there's way too many people that they grew up in church. You hear the stories. I grew up in church. I've been saved forever, you know, so to speak, since they could understand. They've gone to Sunday school. Now they were a Sunday school teacher. They were so active, and now they decided, you know what? I want to go ahead and I want to see what it's like out there. You know what? There's no time to go ahead. Hey, listen, you ought to be proud. You ought to be pleased with the fact. If you have been sheltered from the world and you grew up in church, praise the Lord for that. There's no time to go out and sow some more wild oats. Don't do it now. If you haven't done it then, you know, it's not worth it. You just keep right on. Stay at the church house. Hey, listen, if you started out doing right, you got saved, you grew up in church, and you've been on the right course all these years, you just continue on. Don't you turn back from it. Don't you decide, hey, you know what? I want to get a feel for the outside world. No, you don't. You don't want to go ahead and counsel some of the people I have through the years who have decided to taste what the world had. They've had the church house. They've had the preaching. They've been saved. They grew up in church. They were serving God to a certain degree. But let me tell you something. You don't want the end result. You don't want broken families as a result of that. You deciding, hey, I'm going to take my family out of church. I'm going to sow some wild oats now. You don't want that. You do not want that. Hey, listen. If you're doing it right now, you just continue on. Don't turn back from it. Number four, remember there are those who follow us and see how we run our course in life. That is why we must lead by example. You see, there are folks, one of these going to work, Sean, if I turn it on? Or, I don't know. What's that?
Testing. Oh, there we are. I'm on. Can you hear me? Okay, good. You know, there are those, okay, who follow us. I'm talking about little children, okay? If you're an adult, you're a worker here tonight, they see how we run our course in life. That is why we must lead by example. You know, the Bible says, talks about keeping God first. Seek ye, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all in his righteousness. All these things are added unto you. Listen, little eyes are watching. They are. You know, as a parent, I've got young kids. You know what? The decisions I make, whether they be right or wrong, will ultimately determine how my kids turn out. They will. If I wanted to go ahead and say tomorrow, you know what, I'm done, God. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this preaching thing anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. You know what? As I mentioned a moment ago, they're going to sit back and go, whoa, what happened? And you know what? I'm going to have that on my shoulders one day of my kids because of the way I decided to run my life. The key word there in this statement right now is the way I decided to run my life will determine how ultimately how they turn out. And if they go to the devil, you know what? That is on my shoulders, and I'm going to answer to God one day for that. Now, listen to me. You know, it's so very important. If you're a leader in the church, okay, I'm a bus captain as well. We have bus captains here tonight. You know what? We need to lead by example. We need to lead by, you know what? Them little kids who have no, you visit the homes, and they come for just a little reprieve from their home. Some of these homes that I know I visit in on my route, and you probably do too, you know, they're broken homes. Moms and dads are fighting at each other. All this stuff going on in their life, and they come to this little island, Faith Baptist Church, for 2-3 hours. And let me tell you something, they need some leadership in their life. They need some godly leadership in their life. They need some sincere hearts in their life. They need to know that the pastor at that church is sincere and doing his very best with God's help, trying to lead them to right. They need to know that a bus captain, Sunday school teachers, other key leaders, other leaders, just you as a Christian are here at Faith Baptist Church. They need to know that this business of serving God is real. They need to know that. That's why it's so very important. It is so very important that we lead by example. Why? Because little eyes are watching. You know, I believe this. I get on my bus every Sunday morning, and you know, I am convinced my bus kids know whether I mean business or not. They do. They know whether I'm really, really sincere about this business of serving God or not. They're pretty smart. They're smarter than you think. Truth of the matter is, we need to make this business of walking with God and this business, if you will, if you want to call it that, of lifting up Christ and serving God, we need to make that utmost importance in our life. It'll benefit you, but it's going to benefit your family. It's going to benefit those that are following you. You know, I know as we grow in Christianity, you know, sometimes it's so hard not to develop this attitude. Oh, here we go to church again. I know it's hard. Here we go doing this again for the church, or here we go doing this again. And sometimes we have to fight that. All of us do, I think. If you've been in the ministry, or you go to church, you grew up in church for years, you know, sometimes I think you've got to just kind of shake it off once in a while. Hey, I've been there. But boy, we ought to develop an attitude that I don't have to go to church. You know, our kids ought to see that attitude in us. I don't have to go to church. I get to. I don't have to ride a bus Sunday morning, Brother Joe, but you know, I get to. I don't have to go soul winning Thursday night or Saturday, but you know what? I get to go. And I know sometimes, I know oftentimes it can be this way. You know, you serve God and you get in this kind of cycle and so forth, and you have to breathe a little bit and say, wow. But the truth of the matter is, kind of shake it off and say, you know what? I get to go soul winning tonight. 20 below zero, but you know, I get to go. I get to ride that bus Sunday morning. I get to preach in my pulpit. I get to go ahead and read my Bible. I don't have to do it, but I get to. And let me move on to my next point, and then I'm through. You know, the result of finishing well will give us a crown of righteousness and a well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, in verse number 8 of our text, henceforth, as a result of Paul finishing his course well, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You know, I think the greatest words to me one day, other than the words, I love you, I long to hear my Savior say, I love you, when I see him one day. But I think the other great words I look forward to hearing is, well done. Well done. And I pray by the grace of God, and we all ought to pray by the grace of God, that we will go ahead and make the right kind of decisions that's going to help us finish well. We all ought to be praying that we decide to do and follow Christ the way He'd want us to follow Him now, so that one day we're not only going to hear our Savior say, "I love you, boy, well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, the result is going to be that you're going to get a crown of righteousness. And for our deeds here on earth, this is the only way. We don't get saved by our works by any means, but for our deeds here on earth, we get rewarded for that. The Bible teaches that we're going to be able to cast some rewards at Jesus' feet. And you know what? The more rewards that we cast, now think about this, because of the way that we decide to live for Christ here, boy, that's a statement saying, you know what, I've done everything I can, God, one day when you face Him, to finish my course well here on earth. Done everything I can, Lord, to go ahead and do my best for you on earth. See, Paul instructed Timothy, people are going to laugh at you. I'm sure there's some of you here tonight, man, I've been mocked at, I've been laughed at for my stand for Christ. And Paul said, Timothy, you're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked at. You're going to be misunderstood, but I want you to do this. Preach a word. Be instant in season, out of season. Hey, Timothy, just stick with it. Hey, church tonight, yes, you've been laughed at. We all have for our stand. You've been mocked at, and you're going to be mocked at some more for your stand. But won't you say with me as your pastor tonight, hey, you know what? We're just going to stick with it. We're going to preach a word. We're going to be instant in season, out of season. We're not going to turn back. World, say what you will. Say what you will. Laugh at me because I'm in church on Wednesday night. That's fine. That's okay. That's okay. Laugh at me because I'm in church Sunday morning. That's fine. But because Christ has instructed us to be faithful to Him and to walk with Him, you know what? May we all say one day, like Paul did, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Just as Paul said that to Timothy. In other words, Paul was saying to Timothy, I want you to finish. And I want you to finish well. Timothy, it's not by a big bunch of money. It's not by riches that this world has to offer. But it's by the truth of the Word of God. It's by you walking with Him. And Timothy, I want you to finish and finish well. We ought to want our families, parents, to do well and to finish well, our kids to do well. If you're a leader in church, we ought to want our ministries to do well. We individually ought to desire to finish well for Christ. But what it takes is us doing well now. Just being faithful day in and day out. New transition going on at Faith Baptist Church for all of us, as I mentioned. Let's just decide through it all, okay? Let's just decide. We're just going to stick with the newness, if you will, and we're just going to keep on going for Christ. We're going to make the Bible the standard, and we're just going to go ahead and win this area to Christ. And through world missions, win the world to Christ. Have our part in that. And let's just desire to have a church that desires to not only do well, but one day when Jesus comes back, Jesus maybe can say about Faith Baptist Church, hey, I think you finished well. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to serve you. Now, Lord, in this very simple message tonight, I pray, God, that you'll touch hearts. I know you touch my heart. I'm humbled to stand here tonight And Lord, I do ask you right now to be with these dear people tonight. Lord, my desire as pastor is that everybody in this room will finish their course well. Fight the good fight when it needs to be fought. And there's many times in this life it needs to be fought. And finish our course and keep the faith. I pray that we'll all one day be able to say, as Paul said to young Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I'm going to keep on going, and I'm not going to turn back. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless these dear people now. With our head bowed and eyes closed, shall we stand to our feet? Our heads